Hello and good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church. Today is October 31st, 2021, and it is Reformation Sunday. To begin with a few announcements, we have a church board meeting on Monday, 7 p.m. That's a church board meeting Monday, 7 p.m. We have some Bible studies going on weekly. Bible study series, Jesus Wins, a Biblical Overview of End Times Prophecy. That's Tuesdays at 10 a.m. in person and on Zoom, and 7 p.m. in person. You can contact Pastor John for location and more information. We also have a Shady Oak Bible study Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. You can contact Pastor John about that for more details. And we are rescheduling our deacon meeting for this week. It is deacon board meeting on Thursday, 7 p.m. And I believe Joy has an announcement for us. Joy?
For a few weeks, you've been getting flyers in your bulletin about Operation Christmas Child, the shoeboxes. We have a table downstairs where you can put items, and the kids will fill those boxes next week. In your bulletin this week, you have one that's right from Operation Christmas Child, just to give you an idea what they do and what different ideas of what you can do, too. You'll notice in there they ask for postage of shipping to send the boxes. We pay that here. The ladies' aid, outreach ladies, and Sunday school together will pay that part. So what we would need from you would be items to put in the boxes. Boxes will be downstairs. So next Sunday before 9 o'clock, because during Sunday school, the kids will start packing those boxes like we do each year. But I just want you to know, look this over. This gives you a little bit more information, and thanks for helping us out.
Thank you, Joy, for the information about shoeboxes. More announcements. You might notice the offering plate is not passed around during the service. It can be found in the entryway. And lastly, this is our last service here today, officially. Myself and my family with us. I've enjoyed our time at Stavanger, made some great relationships with you folks, and we'll truly miss you. We'll have a time of prayer during the service and a fellowship meal after the service, so please stick around then. Any more announcements from the congregation? Okay. Let us begin our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Hear the call to worship from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Let's take a moment of silence. And join us as we worship in song. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us. For his sake, grant us forgiveness for all sins. By your Holy Spirit, increase true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this to us, O Lord. Amen. Please join me in the confession of our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sin, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the congregation may be seated. At this time, we have a presentation from a special guest, Ryan Bittner, from Mission Middle Ground in Haiti.
Good morning. It's so good to be back here. It's been, I think Dean and I were chatting, it's been about 15 years, I think, since I've been to church, to Stavanger Church here, but definitely kind of the place where I grew up in my faith. This is the church where I was confirmed. This is the church where I had my first communion, right over there. And there's some really, really sweet memories coming back here, and just some time of really reflecting on what God has done and where he's taken me from those days, years and years ago, to halfway across the world now, I guess. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Ryan Bittner. I have been living in Haiti now since 2008, and that's where I founded an organization called Middle Ground that provides emergency malnutrition treatment for children with severe malnutrition. So we provide care for children who are starving to death. And that's not an exaggeration. Just about 30 days ago, a 2-year-old little girl came to our clinic and passed away within 8 hours because she was so severely malnourished that we couldn't even save her. So we are seeing kids with life or death situations of malnutrition on a daily basis, and we're doing our best to provide care for them and provide a lot of love and support to their parents. Usually what we do when kids get sick is, when we started, most all of our kids were coming to us, hearing about us from word of mouth of other organizations, other foreign-run organizations in Haiti, other hospitals. But as our programs have grown and we've really learned how to invest in the caregivers and invest in the families, we are seeing referrals of patients, children who are severely malnourished, from hours and hours away because a family came to our clinic and their child was treated and their child got well and they went home and they told others about where they could find this treatment. I went to Haiti originally. Okay, I know I have a time limit. I'm my father's daughter. If somebody needs to wave at me, you go ahead and let me know. I originally went to Haiti in 2008 to volunteer in an orphanage because I thought that would be a really good thing to do. And when I was there, it was a good thing to do. It felt good for me. I liked holding the babies. I liked, you know, playing with these little kids. But the thing that I saw over and over and over again was In an orphanage, I expected an orphanage would be filled with children that didn't have parents. That's, I think, what most of us would think, right? But instead, what I found was mothers, fathers, grandmothers bringing children to this orphanage and relinquishing them there because they didn't have the things to take care of them at home. And so they were choosing the physical things they needed, food, education, over being able to keep their children home with them. And I looked at that and I thought, that can't be right. I don't believe that God designed families so flippantly to just separate and pick apart and move into pieces. And I thought, what's the breakdown? What are we missing? What is the thing that we could give to these families so that they didn't have to face that choice? And it really came down to food and education. And so Middle Ground was created to, first of all, meet emergent need of children who are in danger of dying of malnutrition right now. These kids need treatment right now. And so our main focus is to get those kids, get them the emergency nutrition that they need, the medical care that they need to allow them to live. But on top of that, what do we do to keep them from getting sick again? And what do we do to make sure that when they leave their time with us, that they're so transformed that their lives are different from here on out? And so what we do, the way that we kind of try to accomplish that is by providing care to the parents as well. So we are an inpatient treatment. They come and stay anywhere between 6 and 12 weeks, the children, and their parents stay with them. They stay right next to them the whole time. And while their kids are being treated, the parents are going to classes on nutrition, on health education. They're going to Bible studies with our chaplain, and they're going to individual mental health counseling sessions with our therapists. And we're just really trying to make sure that we get in those 12 weeks to just invest in them and to empower them and to build them up to know that when they go home, they are capable and that they do have the resources that they need. We do a lot of training as far as agricultural training, small business. We do small business loans. Anything really that can assure that when the families go home, that they can continue in the health that they have when they leave us. I think some of you are probably aware of what's going on in Haiti right now. Some of you may not be. Haiti's been in the news a lot lately. In July, really since 2018, we've been dealing with a lot of civil unrest in the country. But in July of this year, the president was assassinated in his home. A month later, there was a massive earthquake in the south of Haiti, actually about the same size as the earthquake of 2010. But because it was further outside of the city, thankfully, we didn't see the same amount of casualties. But it's definitely disrupted the entire south of the city. About a week and a half later, there was a hurricane, and now there is a nationwide fuel shortage that is causing hospitals to have to shut their doors and basically the entire country to shut down, just due to the unrest in the country. A lot of the gangs that are fighting for control of the country right now are controlling the roads, which means that roads are shut down, fuel can't get to them. Last week, I watched as hospital after hospital after hospital announced our doors are closed. We can't provide care. The only children's hospital in the city shut their doors a week ago because they don't have electricity to run any of their oxygen machines anymore. So it's gotten to the point now where the situation is incredibly desperate. And last year, in all of 2020, we treated 53 children, and we are, as of last week, we have admitted our 97th child for this year. So we have more than doubled the amount of kids that we saw last year to this year, just because of the struggles of the country, the struggles for even finding food, getting to the market. But I thought it was really cool last week when we started seeing all of these hospitals close their doors, and we're small. We're on a much smaller scale than any of the big hospitals in the city, but we do provide some much-needed care. And I was talking to our staff on the ground, and I said, what can we do? What can we do to make sure that that we can continue to provide this care, and not just what we've set out to do, but that we're available to provide whatever the Lord brings before us. And they said, we need to build our solar. We have solar power, but it's not powerful enough to power the whole building. And they said, we need to double our solar power. And I said, okay, so their job is on the ground and my job is to fundraise. And I said, okay, well, how much is that going to cost? Because I was pretty nervous. And they gave me a number and I said, oh, I really just don't think we're going to be able to bring that in. But I shared the need with a group with Facebook. And within less than 4 hours, we had the entire amount of money brought in to purchase that. And so this week we're buying they already bought the additional parts, and now we're just working on getting them up to the center. So we will be able to continue to function 100% full care, whatever it is that we can provide in the next couple weeks. I think the next couple weeks will be pretty telling in what's going to happen in the future of Haiti, and I'm really just thankful that we'll be able to keep operating, be able to keep providing our services to the families. It can be really discouraging to be in Haiti right now and looking what's going on and trying to find some solution or some resolution or even just some hope, but at Middle Ground, we're in a really unique position because even when it's so incredibly difficult, we get to watch miracles every single day. We get to watch kids heal in ways that you can't look at those and deny that God has a hand in it and that He's got a purpose for these kids. I want to share a video with you guys, just a quick one this morning, about a little girl. Her name is Laura, and she was 3 months old when she was admitted to our program for inpatient care. She had a type of malnutrition called kwashiorkor malnutrition, which causes swelling. So when you look at a baby with kwashiorkor, you don't automatically think that they're sick. You don't automatically think they're malnourished because they have these big chubby cheeks, but they start to swell and they start to look better, and then all of a sudden you see they're not better. The swelling, you know, that what you thought was fat coming onto their body is actually severe swelling. And so Laura, when she came to us, the levels of swelling go, the feet are swollen, that's severe. Once it reaches into the hands, it's getting even more severe. Once it reaches the face, it's critical. And when she arrived to us, she was so swollen that she couldn't even open her eyes. They were just swollen shut from this malnutrition. At 3 months old, she weighed 8 pounds, 2 ounces, and nearly 2 pounds of that was water weight. And so she was just this little 5.5, 6 pound baby by the time that she lost her swelling. But she was treated through our programs she spent 35 days in total in our treatment programs. And at the time she left, she weighed 11 pounds, 9 ounces. And so she lost 2 pounds and then she gained back all of that weight just through proper nutrition and proper education with her mom. So I'm going to show you guys her story because I think it's really important for you to get a little visual of it.
It's like a storm that cuts a path. It breaks your will. It feels like that. You think you're lost, but you're not lost on your own. You're not alone. I will stand by you. I will help you through when you've done all you can do and you can cope.
When it rains, I will
I think I could watch that a million times. I've seen it so many times, and it doesn't get any less powerful watching that mom. We watch that baby transform, but watching that mom transform is something that just, I think it's something that just really encourages me in the work that we're doing. And hey, got a helper here. That video was actually, all of that footage was just over a year ago, because Laura is now 18 months old. She's walking, she's talking, she's playing. She comes in, we see the kids every 4 weeks after they've graduated. We see them once a month. They come back for their checkups and to make sure everything's still going well. And now she comes in those gates, she greets everyone, she knows everybody, and she's just an absolute joy. Every single day when we walk alongside these kids and these parents as they're healing, we get opportunities to show them in just unique ways how we believe that their life has purpose, and how we believe that each and every single one of them has something that they were designed to be passionate about, and something they were designed to do, and something that God has placed in them that this world needs. And we think it's so important to just pour into them and let them know that even in these times where they feel like they can't even buy a cup of rice for their baby, that they still have an impact on this world. They have the ability to impact the world in ways that the Lord has created them to do. I kind of had mentioned that we've been expanding at a pretty rapid rate. 2 months ago, we were actually forced to build an expansion onto our current property because we needed to almost double the amount of beds that we have for kids. And so coming along with that is obviously a need for an increase in support and donations and funding. And I want to just give you guys the opportunity, if you want to, after the service, I've got a table in the back. I've got some peanut butter that you can taste if you want, the peanut butter that we use to actually treat the kids who are really sick. And just some time to chat and visit and share with you guys if you've got any questions about what's going on, or if you want to learn more about how you can get involved. There's also an insert in your bulletin that should have a QR code that you can scan on your phone that can take you right to our website if you want to learn more. And as I said, I'm really excited to answer any questions or chat with any of you guys, visit with any of you guys in the back right after. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the news of the mission in Haiti. Well, it's time to pray. Do we have any special prayer requests from the congregation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this Sunday, gathered together, grateful to be gathered together under the hearing of your word. Thank you for this space we have and this time we have set apart. May we receive from you, from your word, to not only be informed but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, we come to you hearing of this trouble in our world. We hear of trouble. We see trouble, Lord, and we often feel trouble in our own lives. So we know we ought to pray for those who suffer. And we know that you, Lord, suffered before you entered into your glory. So we call to mind all those people who ought to be in our prayers, who are suffering, in our own suffering, knowing that you have given us good news, and we can hope in you, Lord, and we can trust in you. Help us to be your hands and feet in this world, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. And so we turn to you, Lord, with praise and thanksgiving, knowing that your name is great. You are highly exalted. In the name of Jesus, we praise. Lord, we give you our praise, and we give you our thanks for the many blessings we have in this life. Help us to become people of praise in a world of bad news, to be people of good news. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There are so many cares we can take up to you, Lord. So many petitions. And so we open our hands, Lord, to lay our burdens down before you and to receive your good news today. I pray over the message we are about to hear from Pastor John. May we receive a word from you, Lord God. And I would also like to invite Pastor John up here to help me finish this prayer because I'm struggling. It's my last one here.
Here we go. Well, let's invite Diana and the kids come on up, and we'll ask our deacons and fellow pastor and any others that want to come up and lay hands on Pastor Giovanni. And wow, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for bringing Ryan here to share about the ministry of Middle Ground, to which you've called her and others working with her, Lord. We thank you for your calling on her life and for opening this opportunity to minister in your name in very real, tangible ways to show the love of Jesus. And we pray you would continue to provide for, protect, and bless that ministry. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, for how you put it on the hearts of people to give to meet this urgent need for increased solar power capacity so they can continue to offer urgent care, Lord, in the time of national crisis where hospitals are shutting down. Thank you, Lord. And we do pray you'd continue to bless Ryan as she shares the message and helps people here to join in that ministry in whatever way they can. And Lord, too, we want to pray your blessing upon Pastor Giovanni and his family. We thank you, Lord, for calling them here to be a part of this fellowship. Thank you for the blessing they have been. And we pray that you would continue to bless them to be a blessing as they follow your leading to Washington State to serve in the church in Marysville. Lord, we pray for help in the moving process, all they need, that you'd bring the many details together and you'd continue to provide and bring them safely there, Lord, and help them to settle in well, to meet their neighbors, make friends, get to know the church, Lord, and see how you will be continuing to use them there. So thank you, Lord, for them and help them, Lord, as they go. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us also to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. And Pastor John with today's sermon from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 47, sermon entitled The Truth.
I think we should have had Ryan's presentation and prayer for the Ramos family after this sermon. I'm a mess right now. By God's grace, we will move forward. I invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of God's Word from Gospel according to John chapter 8, verses 31 to 47. I read in Jesus' name. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, Truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you are Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may we hear the truth and put our trust in you again today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Jesus replied Truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That didn't go over real well. The truth doesn't always go over really well when it's put in the presence of people who are born in sin. The truth and sin don't get along real well. I'm reminded of the story told by a pastor in Alaska. He said a group of hunters from the lower 48 hire a float plane and fly out into the Alaskan bush to go caribou hunting, just as they did the year before. During their hunt, they're successful and take 6 large caribou. As the pilot returns to pick them up, he tells the men that only 4 caribou can come on the plane due to weight restrictions. The men argue that they were allowed 6 caribou last year. The preacher inserts a parenthetical comment: who would have guessed these guys were from the lower 48? Apparently, weight restrictions in small aircraft is more common knowledge in Alaska than it is here. But eventually, the pilot, wanting to get going, gives in to the hunters. They take off, and a few minutes later, the plane goes down. They crash. Fortunately, they survive the crash. And as they climb out, one hunter asks another, "Hey, Bubba, do you know where we are?" Bubba replies, "Yeah, I think so. Looks like the same place we crashed last year." "We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone." Abraham. We talked about Abraham in the adult Sunday school class today. Abraham is a big name. Those who are familiar with the Bible, he shows up real early on in Genesis 11 and 12. And from there on out, and he gets mentioned again later and later, centuries after he had passed on from this earth. Why is Abraham such a big deal? Well, God made promises to Abraham and to his offspring, namely that they'd be a great nation, and through them, Abraham's offsprings, all nations would be blessed. So you have the very promises of God to your ancestor, Abraham, from whom you draw your identity, ethnically and otherwise. And yet, throughout their history, it seems like there was very few times when they weren't slaves to somebody. The descendants of Abraham, that is. They lived in a country that wasn't their own for a time, and then went off to become, and eventually, slaves in another country not their own, and wandered around in the wilderness with no place to call their own. And then eventually, because they had this sin problem, they couldn't really lick on their own, they end up being slaves in another foreign country, a couple of them, Assyria and Babylon. And as they're speaking these very words, their country is ruled by a foreign power, the Romans. "We've never been slaves to anyone, really." But Jesus isn't talking primarily about earthly slavery, the kind where one human exercises dominance over another. although that's not unrelated. But he's talking about an inward slavery, the one that has the problem with the truth about the human condition, the truth that there's a reason we have this part of our worship service called the confession of sin. And just in case we forget, we got this problem with the truth that we just can't lick on our own, and it has some pretty serious consequences. Even more serious than an overloaded bush plane. You see, our problem with the truth is a crash that we don't walk away from, with eternal consequences. Enter the truth. See, God made promises to Abraham that he intended to fulfill, which he did fulfill. And the people who were touting their connection with Abraham, their physical DNA they could trace back to that man God made promises to, did not realize that the person they were talking to, who was telling them the truth, was indeed himself the truth, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. He is the fulfillment. He is the offspring of Abraham, through whom the whole world would be blessed. He came not only to speak the truth, but to demonstrate it, and to demonstrate it all the way to the cross and the empty tomb. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. But if you hold to Jesus' teaching, to the word of teaching, hold to his word, to his teaching, it means to hold to it. The translation, the word is actually to abide, to remain in, to dwell in, to hang out with. The word of Jesus. Then you're real disciples, followers. Not just people who had given kind of half-hearted interest in Jesus, the Jews who had believed him. This half-heartedness, it didn't work very well for them, because eventually Jesus points out that they intended to kill him. But Jesus says, if you hold to my teaching, if you remain, you dwell in my word, you hang out with my message, with me, you're really my disciples, then you'll know the truth. Not just words written on a page, but the living, breathing Savior of the world, Jesus. And the truth, Jesus, will set you free. We have a problem, I think, with freedom. We don't know what to do with it. Because there's a part in us, that old part, that sinful part that doesn't admit it's not any smarter than those guys trying to overload a small plane. That part thinks freedom is to do whatever pleases itself. That's not freedom. It's freedom to do what pleases the new self, the one that looks like Jesus. If anyone is in Christ, Paul writes, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation, a new being, new. The old has gone, the new has come. That's the person who gets to do what he or she wants, because it's identical with what Jesus wants. It's to love God and love neighbor. We like to think of ourselves as living in a free country, and the last couple of years it seems like we've, due to a number of circumstances, have felt freedoms impinged on. And a lot of it comes down to self, what I want to do. But whether somebody lives in a totalitarian state or a place that has great civic freedoms, that doesn't determine whether that person is really free or not by Jesus' standards. People who are locked up in prison for their faith can often be freer than those on the outside, because they know the truth and have been set free. A freedom that humans can't take away from another, a freedom that God gives. What does freedom look like? I'll pick on you, Ryan. It looks like leaving your country and going somewhere else out of love, giving hungry babies food. It looks like checking in on your neighbor, volunteering at the welcome house, shoveling someone's driveway. It doesn't have to be big or glamorous to put a smile on God's face. That's freedom. Freedom to love as Jesus has loved us. And that's what Reformation Day is about. It's about being set free to know and love God, and as a result, to love neighbors and to trust in the one who gives us a permanent place in his house. A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Really free. Really free. So while we're not indifferent about civic freedoms in our country and other places in the world, we are most concerned about the kind of freedom Jesus is talking about. One that is found in the truth, namely Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. In the face of lies that enslave, for taking the extreme measure, the necessary measure of giving yourself on the cross for us to show us what real freedom looks like. So, Lord, thank you for being a Savior for those of us who couldn't lick the lies and our sinful nature on our own, for coming to be our rescuer. May we abide and dwell in your word. May we hang out with you in the scriptures, that we may continue to grow in knowing you, the truth who sets us free. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. Donations at the fellowship dinner will go to Ryan Bittner and the mission in Haiti. There. Final announcement. So please stick around after the service for the fellowship dinner. With the congregation, please rise for our closing chorus. Go now in peace.
and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.